We shall turn again to the part of God's Word that we read together in the Gospel according to John chapter 6, and we will read verse 63. John chapter 6, verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. The Lord Jesus Christ has concluded his sermon in the synagogue after he was speaking to them about the bread of life and that he himself is that bread of life. And those that believe in him will have everlasting life. He had said, I am that bread of life. He had said that if anyone eats of this bread, he shall live. And he said that this bread was his flesh. And so, as we noticed not too long ago, the Jews rightly concluded that they must eat his flesh in order to have life. And this was a hard saying to them. They said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? No one can understand this. This is harsh, this is rough, this is too much for us, it's too difficult to understand. And it was even repulsive to their carnal mind. They were thinking of his flesh, real skin, real tissue, real blood, real drops of blood. And that is why they were offended, they were repulsed, they were even scandalized, which is what the word means when Jesus says in verse 61, doth this offend you? Does this cause you to stumble? What I'm teaching you, is it leading you to depart from me? And so they were offended. They were stumbling. They were going in the direction of sin because they were going, in fact, away from him. So Jesus is still speaking to them. He's reasoning with them. Verse 62, what and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? Jesus came from heaven. And what if you saw him go into heaven? And probably he is saying, if my words about eating my flesh and drinking my blood have offended you, you're not prepared to accept that. What will you think if I told you next that I'm going to ascend up into heaven? They weren't prepared for either. They were stumbling at the words of Jesus. But what they needed was the Holy Spirit to help them understand his word. Because if they relied on themselves, if they tried to figure it out all by themselves, they would not understand. They wouldn't benefit from his word. They needed the Spirit. He says in verse 63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And so they need the Spirit because the words of Jesus and the meaning of Jesus are spiritual. They are spiritual words, so they need the Holy Spirit, and the Lord Jesus Christ alone can give the Spirit. And the Lord helping us this evening, for a short while, we will consider, first of all, the need of the Spirit to quicken us. The need of the Spirit to quicken us. And secondly, we will notice the spiritual words of Christ. The spiritual words of Christ. And thirdly, the life-giving words of Christ. His words, he says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The life-giving words of Christ. So these are the three things this evening with the Lord's help. And as we see here, the Jews finding the words of Jesus to be hard, to be rough, they found his words to be harsh. We should be truly thankful if the Lord has given us some light to see the wonder of his words, to see the need of the spiritual bread, and be truly thankful if the Holy Spirit has given us an appetite for the heavenly bread, because it is not of him that willeth or him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. In his great kindness, he shows to us the bread of life, and in his great mercy and power, he draws our hearts so that we desire the bread of life and we receive Christ himself into our souls. That is what the Lord's people have experienced, but that is what we all need to experience if we are to escape the wrath and curse of God due to us for sin. We need to feed upon the bread of life, and we need the Holy Spirit to quicken us so that we would indeed feed upon that spiritual bread. So we begin, first of all, to consider the need of the Spirit to quicken us, and then the spiritual words of Christ, and thirdly, the life-giving words of Christ. First of all, the need of the Spirit to quicken us. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. Now, what is meant by the Spirit? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. Some people think that Jesus is speaking of his divine nature. Jesus is God. He says in chapter 4 that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So they think it is the Spirit is the divine nature of Christ. And indeed, it is because of his divine nature that his flesh, his humanity, is effectual to give life to us. If Jesus was not God, he could not give life to us to deliver us from the power of sin and deliver us from spiritual death. So he must be God so that he could give life to us. But we think with others that it is the Holy Spirit that Jesus is speaking of when he says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. Because that is the work of the Holy Spirit, to quicken sinners. And we need the Holy Spirit to quicken us. Now, what does the word quicken mean? Literally, the word quicken means make alive. You can look at the Greek words, and the word life is first, and as I understand it, the word make is second, so it's life make, it's to make alive. That's what the Spirit does, makes us alive, quickens us. That's what quicken means. Quicken means to make alive, to revive, to quicken, to revitalize, to give life to us. This is what the Spirit does. So we need the Holy Spirit to make us spiritually alive, or else we will remain dead in sin, dead in trespasses and sins. Even God's people will feel spiritually dead, spiritually dull and dry and cold without the influences of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is telling us very plainly, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The Spirit quickens, not the flesh. The flesh profiteth nothing, he says. And what is the flesh? Well, it's human nature without the Spirit. In fact, it is, depending on how it is applied, if it's speaking of our nature, it's speaking of fallen human nature. And Jesus says in another place that the flesh bringeth forth flesh, the Spirit bringeth forth spirit, there in John chapter 3, when he's speaking of the need of the new birth. He says, verse 6 in chapter 3, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Now that is the corrupted nature of humanity, man in his fallen condition. So that which is sinful and corrupt, and obviously that cannot save us. The flesh profiteth nothing. The flesh, humanity in its fallen condition, cannot save us. And we cannot, as fallen human beings, improve our condition for eternity. Therefore, whatever comes from the flesh cannot save us, cannot deliver us. For example, our good works cannot deliver us from God's wrath and curse. Our good deeds, our good actions will not bring us into God's favor. The flesh profiteth nothing. And even mere head knowledge, that which is of the flesh, that which is mere humanity, mere reason, mere conscience, mere understanding, that will not benefit us. Yes, it is good to think about the truth. It is essential to have truth in our minds. But that's not sufficient. It will not benefit us without the saving work of the Holy Spirit. When you consider the carnal mind, we all have a mind, but without the Holy Spirit, it's a carnal mind. And that cannot benefit us. We will not be able to recover ourselves from our fallen condition without the Holy Spirit. Now, it's possible that Jesus is including, by the word flesh, his own humanity. And his humanity is perfect, innocent, sinless. And so what he is teaching is that even the flesh of Christ by itself, that is Christ's body and his blood, apart from the divine nature, the flesh of Christ by itself cannot save. Christ's body, apart from the divine nature, cannot give us life. So this explains the problem with the Jews. They were stumbling at the words of Jesus, which really they were stumbling at their own mistake, because they weren't thinking about the fact that Jesus is God. They were just thinking about literal flesh, literal blood, and literal eating, as if they could use their teeth to take and to eat the literal flesh of Jesus. But they were wrong. They could not eat it literally, and the mere flesh of Jesus could not save them. It would not benefit them. The flesh of Christ, the blood of Christ by itself, apart from his union, with the divine nature, this personal union to the divine nature, apart from that, his body and blood could not profit them. They need both. They must look to Jesus, whose human nature was united to his divine nature in his one person. That's the personal unity of the human nature with the divine nature. Both are necessary. It is because of this union, this personal union, that his flesh is effective. It's because of that, because he is a divine person. His body broken, his blood shed, has infinite worth and is therefore able to save them if they would but feed spiritually upon him. You see, it's the divine nature that gives infinite value to his human nature and his human suffering. So, what is the problem? Jesus is explaining the problem to them. You need the Spirit. The flesh profiteth nothing. Corrupted human nature will not save you. And mere flesh, any flesh, no matter how pure and holy it is itself, cannot profit you. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. They need, and Jesus is telling them, they need the Spirit to quicken them. They need the Spirit to understand these things. They need the Spirit to give them life. They were saying that what Jesus taught them was hard. It was too difficult. And indeed, they did not believe him. Jesus says that to them, verse 64. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, Therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. You see, the reason they did not believe in him was because they did not experience the drawing of the Father. You won't understand, you won't figure it out without divine teaching, without the Holy Spirit. You will not be able to feed upon Christ and experience spiritual blessing for your soul without this divine drawing by the Father. And how does the Father draw? By the Holy Spirit. The Spirit, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. Here you are today, perhaps, and you can't sort this out. You don't understand what believing is. You've never experienced this spiritual appetite and a desire to feed upon Christ, and you don't know what this is. You don't know how to make it happen. And perhaps you're beginning to murmur, and you're saying, this is too hard. And Jesus is telling you, the problem is not with me and my words. The problem lies at your doorstep. It is your spiritual darkness. That explains why you can't understand it. That explains your deadness, your spiritual death. That explains why my teaching is repulsive to you. And it's too hard. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. It's the Spirit that makes us alive, the Spirit that works in our souls. God the Father draws us by His Holy Spirit, and He quickens us and makes us spiritually alive. He gives us light in our minds. He gives us desires in our hearts so that we do come to Christ and we do feed upon Him. We feed spiritually upon His broken body and shed blood. So, we need the Holy Spirit because the flesh profiteth nothing, and the words that Jesus speaks are spirit and they are life. And that brings us to the second point, the spiritual words of Christ. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. The Lord Jesus spoke to them many words. Some of them perhaps were easy to understand. And Jesus taught them to love your neighbor as yourself. Most people can understand that. Whether that has been done is another matter. We're to love our neighbor just as much as ourselves. Children, did you hear that? You're to love your sibling, your brother or sister as much as yourself. But have you done that? That may be easy to understand, but difficult to perform. But here are the Jews, and they're saying what he is saying, what he is teaching, is too hard to understand. But Jesus tells them, he gives them a key to understanding his meaning. And that is this, that his words are spirit. And the whole message of his sermon, the whole meaning of his sermon was spirit or spiritual. And he is bringing to them this duty of spiritual feeding, spiritual nourishment, spiritual health, spiritual well-being. It's not physical health. It's not temporal well-being. It's not having a nice house and healthy children that Jesus is speaking of, but spiritual health and spiritual life. And spiritual feeding. And feeding upon himself in a spiritual way. And so that's the meaning of his whole sermon. But that's not all. It's not only the meaning of his sermon, but the actual words that he used in his sermon are spiritual. They're to be taken the same way as his meaning. They're to be taken spiritually. In other words, partly this is what we should say, that they're to be understood figuratively, in a spiritual way, because he's speaking of the benefits of his death for the soul. And how to reach the soul is not by physical eating, but spiritual receiving of Christ's body and blood. So the words that he uses to describe this spiritual feeding is these words, eating indeed, flesh, blood. But you see, the eating is believing, and the bread is his humanity. It's not physical. It's not corporal, carnal, as the catechism says, but it is spiritual. It is a spiritual feeding, a spiritual hunger, spiritual appetite, spiritual digestion, assimilation, so Jesus lives in us and our life is his life and he works in us. And the life that we now live in the flesh, we live by the faith of the Son of God. But not only that, not only are the words that he uses spiritually interpreted, spiritual words, and to be taken in a spiritual way, but the Holy Spirit uses these words as an instrument to convey spiritual life to us. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and the Holy Spirit uses these words to convey life to you. That's the encouragement, because what is set before us is the gospel. It's the truth as it is in Jesus. He says, I am the bread of life. And hearing that with our ears, the Holy Spirit blesses it to our souls. They are spirit. The Spirit uses these words to communicate life to us. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. It's the means of conveying life to our souls, the words of Christ, the good news of the gospel. Are we ready to receive? Are we welcoming the good news? Are we saying, yes, Lord, come and save me. Lord, be my spiritual bread. Deliver me from spiritual death. The Holy Spirit uses the word to bring sinners to Christ, to work faith in them, uniting them to Christ in their effectual calling, so that he convinces them of their sin and misery, he enlightens their minds in the knowledge of Christ, he renews their wills, he persuades and enables them to embrace Jesus Christ, freely offered to them in the gospel. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are spiritual. The Holy Spirit uses them to bless you, to work in you, to draw you. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so let us pray that the Holy Spirit would work and bless the gospel to us, bless Jesus' words to us, because Jesus himself is speaking to us. You've been hearing two ministers among us in the communion season preach to us, and you didn't even realize, perhaps, it was Jesus Christ preaching to you. Jesus Christ himself preaching to you the whole time. Oh, to hear the word of Jesus. His words are spirit and they are life. They are life-giving words of the Savior. That's what we consider in the third place. His words convey life to us, and that's linked, of course, to the fact that it is the Holy Spirit that quickeneth and uses the words of Jesus, the spiritual words of Jesus, conveying life to our souls. This life-giving power is by the Spirit, the quickening Spirit. Remember, we considered Jesus said in verse 57, as the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. Are these not spiritual words? Is there not deep meaning in these words? Are these not beautiful, full, powerful words? Ministers struggle to do these words justice, and we never will. They are so wonderful. As one Puritan said, or one writer said, that fullness of the Godhead and life that dwells in the man Christ cannot but put life and preserve life in all that close with him. If you close with Jesus, if you believe in him, if you receive him, you will most definitely have life in your soul because of the fullness of the Godhead and life that dwells in him. And if Jesus dwells in you, God dwells in you. The fullness of life. And because he himself is infinite, our life, if we believe in Jesus, is sustained by that inexhaustible life of God manifest in the flesh, Jesus Christ. So if we feed upon the flesh of Christ, if we drink the blood of Jesus, receiving Christ crucified by faith into our souls, we have unending, unquenchable life in our souls. Jesus' words convey life to us. They are life-giving words. They convey refreshing to us, as Jeremiah says, or he is speaking of God, "For I have satiated the weary soul, and I have replenished every sorrowful soul." You may be thinking, "I'm still sad, minister. We went through a week of sermons, and I'm still sorrowful." Let me ask you a question. Did you feed upon Christ? Or do you even have an appetite for him? You only get replenished and satisfaction in your soul if you receive Christ, if you have him in your heart. So then pray that the Spirit would quicken you, that the Spirit would give you an appetite, a spiritual appetite. That is a desire for Christ, that he would dwell in your heart by faith. Oh, friends, we need this life. Without the Spirit, without the life-giving words of Jesus and the life that he gives by his word, we're dead. We're lost. We're ruined forever. There's nothing but spiritual death. But Christ died to give life. He was willing to take the cup of wrath. Remember, he said, "The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it?" But who filled that cup? It was sinners like you and me. By our transgressions, one after another, millions, billions, trillions of sins stuffed into that cup. Oh, what a bitter cup, a cup of wrath, a cup of justice, a cup of fire, a cup that had the curse in it. But Jesus was given that cup. And he drank that cup. And there's no more curse. Justice is satisfied. The sword is gone. The fire of his wrath is extinguished. There's no more cup of wrath. Jesus drank it to its bitter dregs. And so he secured the gift of life by the Spirit for poor sinners like you and me. He is the spiritual bread. His body was broken. His blood was shed for the forgiveness of sin. And friends, how we should pray with the Jews, only pray with sincerity. Lord, evermore, give me this bread. I challenge you to pray that prayer tonight with all sincerity. You say, "I don't know if I have any sincerity." Well, beg the Lord for sincerity and pray with desire and earnestness and plead the fact that the Father gives us the true bread from heaven. Lord, evermore, give us this bread. Evermore. From now on. Oh, for the rest of my life, that I would feed upon this bread, because Jesus said, "Except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. You are dead. You are lost and ruined forever." But whoever it is that does eat this bread and drink this blood, his blood, it is, he says, meat indeed and drink indeed. and all other sources of happiness are but shadows. They are but nothing in comparison with the true bread. Meat indeed, truly it is meat and bread and drink. So let us not think that we can be satisfied with the pleasures of time and sense. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread? Look to Christ, receive him, receive what he is presenting to us, even still this moment knocking at the door of our hearts, so that he would come into us and he would sup with us and he with him. He brings a great provision. He offers himself and all the blessedness and grace that he purchased at the cross. Even this moment, still this very moment, he is standing at the door of our hearts and says that he's knocking. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him. I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. All that is required is that we receive him. He's not asking us to do some great thing. He's not calling us to make a great provision and to see whether he will be satisfied with it. He says he brings the provision. And we're to invite him in and say, "Come, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore, why dost thou stand without? Come in. Do not turn him away. Let not this communion season and the preaching of the word be in vain." Paul says, "We beseech you that ye receive not the grace of God in vain." Don't let it be a vain thing that you heard the gospel preached. That's what it means. Don't, as it were, spill it on the ground and waste it. But receive it. Receive the truth as it is in Jesus. Receive him, and he will come. He will sup with you. You will have communion with him. You will live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved you and gave himself for you. May the Lord bless his word. Let us pray.